Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 5. This may be one of the most depressing chapters in the Bible, but anyway, there is a bright spot in the last part of the chapter. So we'll take a look at this. Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years, and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Excuse me. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years, and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. We'll take a look at it in just a minute. Let's turn once again to Genesis chapter 5. Well, we've seen so far in Genesis how God created man. It mentions it again here in these first few verses. God created man in his own image, but then Adam and Eve then sinned against God and by disobeying his command and brought sin and death upon the human race. We've seen that as we read through this chapter. And he died, and he died, and he died. Came as a result of sin. Cain, their first son, wanted to do things his own way. He offered to God a sacrifice of the fruit of his own hands, while his brother Abel offered a lamb as God had commanded. Cain became angry because God rejected his offering, but received that of Abel. He killed his brother and became the first murderer. Although he denied the deed, God punished him by sending him away to be a perpetual wanderer. We saw that in the previous chapter. He went to the land of Nod, where he began the first civilization, and his descendants were godless people. They did not worship the true and the living God. Beginning here in chapter 5, we find the descendants of Adam through Seth. God gave them another son in place of Abel, whom Cain had killed. And Cain, of course, had been rejected, and God put a curse on him because of his sin. And now the blessing must come through Seth. And this is the line that we'll be noticing here. Seth becomes a substitute. His children become true followers, become followers of the true God. If you notice the previous verse, chapter 4, verse 26, it says, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." So we find here that people are recognizing the true and the living God and worshiping him. We find here in chapter 5, the reign of death, as I mentioned. Well, we find here that all these people who lived a very long life, then they died. It's amazing. We wonder how could people live so long, 900 and something. I think Methuselah was the longest, 969, I believe. And then die. You know, it's something about that. Death is a universal enemy, and it comes to everyone, sooner or later. Some die very young, others in middle age. Some live to be longer, and yet it always comes, doesn't it? And what a curse it is upon us. This matter of death. And it says that death is going to be the last enemy that will be destroyed. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Strength of sin is the law. And all of that. So we find that death is universal. Look with me, if you would, into Romans 5 and verse 12. Romans 5, 12. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man," that's Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So here we find the universality of death that's very evident to all of us, I'm sure. But something that we cannot avoid. And here it goes through all of this from Adam on down through, it gets to Noah. Noah we'll talk about later. His story, of course, involves a lot more than most of these other men. We don't know a lot about them, but it does give us quite a bit of information about Noah and how God judged this world because of their sin, and had grace upon Noah and his family. But we are in the midst of all of these people that were living, we find here that there was an exception. This man named Enoch. It makes a separate statement about him in verse 24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Isn't that interesting? To see that. Hebrews 11, let's take a look over there. Hebrews 11, verse 5. It says, by faith, there it is, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we find here Enoch was translated that he should not see death. God in his mercy and grace spared him going through death because of his faith in God. And it says he walked with God. Just like you remember in the Garden of Eden, it talked about before sin entered into the picture, that God would come down in the evening and would walk with Adam and Eve. They had fellowship together, and everything was so wonderful. And here we find with Enoch, it's something similar. He put his faith and trust in God, and gave his life over to him. And notice it was after, it mentions here in verse 22, or verse 21 actually, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. So this is his first, apparently the first child. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. So from the time his first son was born, Enoch apparently began to walk with God in a special way. And you know, you think about that when a couple gets married and so forth, and then they have the first child, and it makes a great difference, doesn't it? It brings a great deal of joy into the, under the right kinds of circumstances. And many times people will dedicate themselves more to the Lord in order to raise their child properly and to see that one serving God and doing His will. Maybe that's the way it was with Enoch. We find here that it was at the birth of Methuselah that his life apparently changed. And he dedicated himself more fully to God and walked with Him. It's interesting that expression also refers to Noah in the next chapter. It says, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. See? That same expression, isn't it? Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. And the difference is, what happens here? We wonder how things work out sometimes with people. We find Enoch walked with God and God took him home, right? Spared him going through illness and death and took him to heaven. And Noah walked with God, but he didn't have the same thing happen to him, did he? He had to, we'll get into that later. But anyway, building the ark and going through all of the judgment, God spared him from being killed, but at the same time he had to go through a great deal of turmoil in the midst of all that. You know, thinking about that, just a little thought came to me. You know, the being on a ship closed in like that with all these animals for a year, wasn't it? Could not have been all that pleasant. What do you think? You ever been around animals closed in a place for any length of time? You know? It's probably not too pleasant. And yet, he got through that, and they came out on the other side. We'll talk about that more next week. But anyhow, we find here Enoch walked with God. That was his habitual life. And God took him home. Let's look at Jude verse 14. We find here that Enoch is actually called a prophet. And we'll see this in Jude chapter 14. Verse 14. It's only one chapter. Here Jude is talking about these false teachers and comparing them and who they are and so forth. Let me read from verse 12. It says, these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withers, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So here, Enoch prophesied. He walked before the world as a godly man and had a testimony that he was in communion and fellowship with God and denounced those who were living in an ungodly way. The word ungodly is mentioned over and over again here. And that God is going to judge those who live in an ungodly way. And, you know, I just I wonder about that today in this age in which we live. The Lord hasn't come yet. But when he does come, what kind of judgment is he going to bring upon this sinful, ungodly world in which we live? It's depressing sometimes to think of what's happening all around us and all of the things that are going on in our world. And yet God is still, he's still in control, and he is coming. He says he's coming with the thousands of his followers and to bring judgment upon the world. He had a testimony by his faith, by his life, by his witness to the world. And he prophesied and proclaimed that the Lord was coming. It's like we keep saying today, the Lord is coming. He's coming to take his church out of this world. He said, promised that he would. So I'll go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It tells us over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 about the coming of the Lord. Familiar verses, but I want to refresh your memory a little bit this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, talking about the rapture of the church, the coming of the Lord Jesus. beginning in verse 13. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," or those who have died, "that you saw or not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." So here we have the picture. Enoch is a picture of the rapture. He walked with God and God took him home to be with him. When the Lord Jesus comes again, he's going to call and we will go to be with him to spend eternity in his presence. And it says that the dead in Christ, those who have died, and those who are still alive will be caught up together. And we'll go to be with him throughout eternity. We find here, as I mentioned about Noah, it says that the name Noah means rest or comfort. And after Enoch was translated, Noah was left here to carry on and to be a witness, a testimony to his generation. But he says he brings rest or comfort. And of course, he built the ark, and God told him exactly what to do, that the civilization wouldn't be completely destroyed. So, we find here that like Enoch, Noah continued on walking with God and serving him up until the time that God's judgment came, and then that was it. Right? That was it. You know, God's very gracious, he's very full of mercy, long suffering, and all that, but there is a limit. And we find here the limit. We'll see it as in the coming weeks as we look into the life of Noah and see how God dealt with the people of that day. And I can't help but think he's going to deal with this generation in the same way, or to bring judgment upon all of the ungodliness that is all around us. So anyway, we find here all of these listings of names, and it's just interesting to see that God has made man who he is, a woman as well, male and female, it says. He created them. He blessed them. He called them Adam, or mankind, in the day when they were created. And then he goes through all of this long line of people. Lived back in those days, and how they lived a certain time and then died. You notice that's basically the only thing he says about each one of these. Gives his name, that he had children, and then that he died. Seems to me like that is the main emphasis that he's trying to get across to us here. we have one life to live here on earth, and no matter whether it's short or whether it's long, we have to live in such a way as to be pleasing to God. And Enoch here is the great example, of course, that he walked with God. And I think, you know, it says that we should walk in the Spirit, walk in the light, walk in prayer, and serving God in our life day by day. And I think that's the one thing we could get from this chapter, that that we should dedicate ourselves to doing what we can for ourselves and for our families, for our loved ones, our descendants, and seek to bring glory to God in all that we do, and allow the Lord to use us in this world in which we live. It was a corrupt world back then. It's a corrupt world today. And we who know the Lord Jesus as Savior are the, it says we're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. We need to let our light shine. We need to make the world a better place as best we can, and be a witness for Christ in this day, as long as He allows us to live and to serve Him. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your precious word to our hearts, and pray that You'll help us that we might indeed walk in fellowship with You and do Your will, that we might truly walk with You as Enoch did, as Noah did. And we pray that we would honor You and serve You and be a witness to those that we come in contact with, and realize that You are with us to help us. And may we look to You and find the grace that we need to keep going day by day. Thank You for our salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we were come to the communion table today, we pray that it might be a time of significance, a time of blessing, and that we would truly remember the Lord Jesus and all that He's done for us. Thank You for all Your grace and love and mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.